This is a story about what happens when you have breast cancer, told in real time.
When did we last talk?
It was a big appointment day.
So I know I was going to see the radiation oncologist, and my questions were like, what happens if I don't do radiation? And what happens if I do, as far as the numbers? My reconstruction surgeon, I said, well, how do I know? And he's like, ask about the numbers. And that's what my oncologist told me.
It was July 7th.
Oh, July 7th. Okay. So that was almost exactly 3 weeks ago. It was interesting because nobody had really told me you absolutely have to have radiation. My surgeon was like, I don't know why you wouldn't do radiation if you're opting for a double mastectomy to keep the cancer from recurring, because radiation is a way for that to happen, especially with the skin involvement you've had. You know, and he said the same thing about, is it even more straightforward about the hormone blockers that are in my drawer and on deck for after radiation.
Did you feel like they were trying to make you make the decision about whether or not to do it more than anything else?
I think they wanted me to make the decision. And I think they also have such a healthy respect for what each specialty does that they didn't feel like it was their place to step in. I've noticed that with MD Anderson group, that they're so complimentary of one another, unsolicited, and they really understand the boundaries of their specialty and also their knowledge.
Do they give you a lot of statistics and data to help you? No, they don't give you any of that.
I never got the statistics on whether, unlike chemo, of doing it or not doing it. And one thing that I value that I didn't realize I would value is that I don't know what my percentages are of recurrence in general.
Meaning if you took all the people who had similar cases like yours and asked for the data on recurrence.
Yeah.
You never asked for that number.
No, no.
Nobody volunteered it either.
Mm-mm.
Why does that make you sad?
That part doesn't make me sad. It's more like, like the 5-year survivability of the situation, or the 10, like if it's 28% chance that I'll live 10 years or 50% chance I'll live 5 years. I don't want to know that.
And you still don't know?
Mm-mm. No.
Well, that's because it's 100. So why would they bother?
I know. It's gotta be. But I think it's just, I don't want to know that, and nobody's offered it. And when I got close to the question, I think in my mind somehow, and I asked my surgeon, he said, Kristen, you're cancer-free until you're not. And when I talked to my oncologist about scans, she said, you're only cancer-free until that next scan.
It's kind of like waiting for the law to catch up with you.
I know. I know. Seriously. That's kind of how I feel. And I had to take it with respect, especially from my surgeon, because he's a cancer survivor. And he said, I live with that all the time. And so he also was saying, as a cancer survivor, here's what I've seen. And here's what I think would be helpful with this pathology report. And it was about doing the hormone blockers and talking about radiation. And so I made the appointment with the radiation oncologist, and I went in, and the side effects, I thought I was recording the conversation, and it turned out I wasn't. And I wish I would have, especially that one, because there was so much information. And what she said as far as the numbers, though, is she said, if you don't do radiation, there's a 30% chance of recurrence. And if you do radiation, I think she said 8 to 10% chance. And I had thought, okay, if I go in there and it's a 5% difference or a 2% difference, no way, I'm not doing this. And then I thought about it. A friend of mine brought up, well, if you don't do it, and it comes back, will you wish you had tried everything? And I'm like, yeah. So because of the lymph node involvement, even though it's just one lymph node that they found out of the 11, it changes where they're going to do it. It changes, I believe, the urgency to do it.
So how many times have you gone?
I haven't gone any yet.
You haven't started?
No. So today is what they call mapping and simulation. And from what I understand, it's about an hour procedure. and not even procedure, but you go in and this is where the radiation oncologist works with their team. They have some kind of a CAT scan going on so that they can see exactly where they need to target with the lasers, right? And so the reason that my right one where I had cancer is so much bigger than the other is one reason is because when the laser beams come across, they don't want it hitting the left breast and damaging that skin because they come from different angles. It's like a light show, I think.
I'm visualizing like in what's that Thief movie where they have to crawl over the
lake
to get to the treasure?
Yeah. Was it Ocean's 11 or something?
Oh, yeah. In the cage under the casino.
Yeah. But so the lasers are coming, I guess, from different directions depending on where they're going to try to hit. And so from what I understand, it's kind of like the right quadrant from like the center of my neck down and around and back up the side of my arm because the lymph nodes in the arm and they want to get the chest wall. And I think because of the skin involvement that I had, it makes it more important to get the chest wall. And then they're also going to be zapping all the lymph nodes up in that quadrant, which are in the arm and in the collarbone and in the neck.
I just sort of naturally want to visualize what the room looks like and what the laser looks like. And certainly it doesn't look like the underside of a casino, but are you laying on a table?
So from what I've seen, because I've looked at some of the stuff and every place is a little different. You're laying on a table and it's kind of like an MRI machine, but wider. Because it looked like there's kind of a tunnel, but it also looks like there's something that comes up down over you. It's 15 minutes long from what I understand.
Oh, that's all. Okay.
Yeah. But today what they're doing is they're mapping where these lasers are going to go.
Yeah.
And then they're going to put freckle type tattoos in the spots that the lasers are going to hit. And there's a lot of women who don't want the tattoos. And so they'll have them do like a Sharpie and put a film over it or whatever. And I'm like, you know what, do the tattoos. I want it exactly precise. I don't want anything running, you know, like a Sharpie from the shower or anything. And that correlates with my conversation with the oncologist. And there are risks that the lasers could hit your lungs and that they could hit your spinal column, that they could hit your voice box. They're definitely going to be hitting your ribs. I was told that definitely there's nothing they can do to protect your ribs. And so one of the side effects is that, I don't know, a few years from now, 10 years, whatever, a rib could randomly break. Okay, cool. And they keep an eye on you. I have appointments with my surgeon like every 4 to 6 months, with my oncologist every 4 to 6 months, probably now with my radiation oncologist every 4 to 6 months to monitor all of this.
So are you still in any pain from your surgery?
I'm in pain from, I don't believe it's from the surgery. I'm in pain from the expander fills that have happened. Dr. Pacella told me straight up, it's going to hurt. You know, it's going to be uncomfortable. Like these feel like cantaloupes or watermelons. They're not comfortable. And there's a couple of things that are painful. I'm going to say something really quickly because I have found through this whole journey that I kept getting pissed off about people not telling me things. Remember, I was like, why did things they didn't tell you about chemo, things they didn't tell you about this, things they didn't tell you about that. Well, I had a real good friend of mine who had breast cancer and she didn't go through radiation with expanders and all that. And she said, Kristen, I didn't want to tell you how hard this was going to be because I didn't want to break your spirit. And I think now that's why they don't tell you how hard it's going to be, because a lot of people wouldn't do it. So with that in mind, I was thinking about what we're doing here and how we're trying to help women. And the last thing I want to do is scare anyone. But I want to be super transparent also, because I wish people would have told me, but that's me. I don't put my head in the sand. And I kind of wish I would have, so I didn't feel so much.
I'm going to agree with you, but I'm going to agree for a different reason. And it's because of all the work I did in surveying surgery patients. I surveyed for 5 years. I think we ended up over 200,000 people.
Right.
We had surveyed after all different kinds of surgery. And the number one thing that made people dissatisfied was not being prepared for what was going to happen in recovery. And I have hung on to that. And it's what drives what I do for a living now.
Right.
That I want people to be prepared before, during, and after anything.
I completely respect and value that. And you know me, I'm always going to be transparent and I'll always give you as much information or more. What made me say that was that I didn't realize what was hurting me so badly until a couple weeks ago. And I was like, this is where it really hurts, to my doctor. So the expanders, for people who don't know what they are, is it's basically a placeholder for your
breast implants.
Yeah, that was the brain fart. That's the chemo brain right there. I couldn't even think of it. And so they put the expanders under between the chest wall and the pec. And the reason that my right breast is so much bigger is because they're stretching the skin more than they need to. They're stretching it because with radiation, there's so much damage to the skin. The skin gets thinner. There's a lot of damage to it. And so I think that, and a lot of times it like will shrink down to where it's holding on really tightly to the muscles or to whatever's under it. And so they're trying to expand it so that it evens out, right? These expanders are flat on the bottom, and then there's room for a certain amount, like a balloon, and there's like a port where they put saline in. And the expanders are sutured into my chest wall. And so when I move, especially when I'm like on my back, when I move, it hurts a lot. There's probably between a quart and a half gallon of fluid on this breast that's laying on my chest wall, right? That has this flat piece that rubs against it. Not directly, because I know there's the stuff that they put in, but that's pretty painful. And nobody told me that that would hurt. Now, as the fluid inside gets to be fuller, it hurts more. So there's a lot of times when I'll step there and I'll just hold the side of my boob up, you know, like I'll just hold it from underneath. I'm like,
to give it a break.
Yeah. And so I wish I would have known about that. But the pain that I've been in has to do with the size that the right breast is. Normally they put between 50 and 100 cc's per visit in the expanders. And with doing radiation, they didn't want too much time to go by between surgery and beginning radiation. So we were on kind of a fast track. So I would go in and get 100 in each. And then about halfway through, we stopped filling the left one and was just doing the right one. And last week I had 200 cc's put into the right one. And he said, it's going to be painful. And I have some muscle relaxers and I'm taking some, you know, Advil and Tylenol and the heating pad and a little bit of ice here and there. But what that's done is all of that has put pressure on my arm and I can't raise it as much. And so what is helping is I have PT for lymphedema, because I'm kind of on the cusp of getting lymphedema because of in my right arm. And it's not there yet, but I'm working with somebody so I don't get it. It's like that there's a chance of this, there's a chance of this, there's a chance of this. And you read past it because people don't say how often it happens. And like I just noticed that my underarm hair started growing back. Oh, like, no. And there's these long hairs like this, right?
Nobody told you.
I couldn't see it. Because I can't raise my arm enough to see it. So anyway, that's a really long answer about the pain. I still sleep. I call it the pillow throne. And I have a wedge and I have pillows. Like right now I've got probably 3 or 4 pillows behind me, but there's a pillow that's underneath my right arm so that it's not pulling down on that area.
Do you usually sleep through the whole night or do you wake up during the night a lot?
I wake up. And it's positioning. Sometimes I've like kind of slid down. I keep a pillow under my knees so I don't slide too much. Right now I've been taking some Robaxin to relax these muscles that are around this beautiful breast. And I also take melatonin. And there have been a lot of times when I've been up 2 and 3 times at night. But in general, I've kind of gotten used to sleeping on my back. So I'm a side sleeper generally. but I don't want to feel the pull on my chest wall from them. Last weekend, I was laying in the bed and I actually couldn't get up for about 20 minutes because I could not get in a position where it wasn't pulling drastically. And then all of a sudden I was able to like lean on my right arm and pull myself up and it was fine. But it just feels like things kind of lock up, but it's like pain. I don't really even know how to explain it. And I'm not saying, I would never say to anybody, don't get the expanders. And I certainly wouldn't say, get a mastectomy and go flat and then do the expanders and add another surgery to you as a recommendation. I mean, it's everybody's complete journey on their own and their decisions. I just knew that I wasn't emotionally strong enough to see myself disfigured any more than what I am. And I'm not a vain person and I wasn't obviously attached to my breasts, but it's just such a change from the last, I don't know, when did I get boobs? When I was 12? Okay, from the last 44 years of looking in the mirror. And I already have a constant reminder when I see my hair, and my hair is growing back, which is awesome.
It looks really good.
Thank you. I don't feel like it's a body image thing or anything like that. It's just the only way I can say it is I don't recognize my body. I don't recognize my mind. I don't recognize my voice, and I don't recognize the way I walk through the world right now. And that's really hard.
One of the through lines is that you do keep moving back towards the things that are truly you. And you went back to work. Mm-hmm. And so you must have been feeling good enough to do that. It's not easy taking care of a toddler. And he must have been so happy to see you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was. He was. And so were Crystal and Eric, the family. And they're so good to me about being flexible because I can't lift him. And, you know, the first day that I saw him, I try to wear like my pink bra that I have. It covers a lot. And when I'm caring for him, because I showed him that Miss Kristen has a boo-boo and that we have to be careful with that area. And I'm having to reprogram him into like, I'm not somebody you can bounce off of right now. And we would wrestle and he would run from mommy to me and just like we'd fall over and, you know, that kind of stuff. And when he wants to be picked up to look at something, he'll say, hold, hold. And I'll have to say, Miss Kristen can't hold you right now, remember? And I'll say, but we can do this, you know, and I'll help him. Like he was on, we're on the stairs and he didn't want to go down the stairs. And I'm like, well, let's sit down on our bottoms and like, let's go down, you know? So I'm having to kind of modify that, but I'm my own worst critic because his mom has to get him out of bed and I'm 5 weeks post surgery. So in the next couple of weeks, I should be able to lift him. I am glad I'm staying here with him because my commute is literally walk out the bedroom door and go over to his room, you know, and I'm here for another 3 weeks. So yeah, I am moving back toward the things that are me. It's just, I've only been here like 11 months and hadn't really gotten my footing on my life yet here. And before all this happened, so I didn't really know what it looked like here yet completely.
I want to ask you about the other boy in your life. I know it was Brian's birthday the other day. Did you get to talk to him?
I didn't.
Sorry.
That's okay. I just love him so much and I want him to be okay. I hope it's that he's preoccupied and having a good time and that he's not afraid to talk to me about it because we've always had a relationship. We can always talk. And so, I sent him pictures throughout the past week and it was like, it's birthday week, you know, it's happy birthday week. And it was like pictures of when he was little and stuff. And then on his birthday, you know, I sent him a picture of it's birthday week day, you know, and sent him another silly picture and, you know, just did what you do. But no, I didn't get to talk to him. That was kind of a hard day. But some of the times that he has been available and he was under my care, we had a lot of fun and we made a lot of memories. And I know he has those inside him. And I just hope he's not frightened and not being able to articulate it. Or
if I had to guess, it's probably primarily just denial.
Yeah.
and then maybe a little bit frightened, but it's probably more like, if I ignore this, it'll go away. There's no way my mom is not going to make it. She's going to be fine. She's always fine.
She's always fine. She's my mom. You know, she's always a little crazy, but she's always fine. There's usually a speed bump going through the hard stuff. But I was going to tell you that the other night, last Friday, I had my first walk into the world, really. And I went to the Pageant of the Masters, oh my gosh, when you're out here, you're going to have to come out here one summer and I'll take you. It's in Laguna Beach and it's this amphitheater and it's art, basically, but it's living art. This one was called Made in America and it was American artists. So they took it all the way from the Revolutionary War all the way to the present. And they give you the history on these artists and on the pieces. And it's really cool. And they were all live people that were made up, right?
Oh, that is so amazing.
It's so cool. And they're all volunteers. And the list to do this is so long. To be in the Pageant of the Masters, to volunteer to do it. And there's an orchestra underneath that's playing music along with it. Huh. So it was really cool. That was the first time I've been out in a group of people since all of this. And I didn't feel good in my skin. I loved watching it, but walking in, I felt very unsteady. And part of that is because I was protecting my right side because of this, you know, expander situation that's going on. And I just hadn't navigated through people since COVID, right? And then especially not after chemo and surgery and all of that. And I just didn't really know how to navigate the world. And it was very weird because I'm not that person. I'm the person who's like, hey, let me help you through it, you know? And I had a very hard time. I loved it, but I had a very hard time. It's not about vanity. It's about feeling, not knowing who I am, I guess, anymore. Because there were some things, you know about that took away my identity. And in a lot of ways, and you know, people go through that when their kids get older and like all that kind of stuff. And it was just as a single woman, cancer-free, in the middle of all the treatments, in pain, not knowing how to walk in the world and in my skin anymore. So there was a blog that I read the other day, and it was someone who put into words what I was feeling. And it just talked about how these things on your chest aren't part of you anymore. They're your neighbors, you know, but they don't feel like you. But I'm grateful to have them. I'm grateful to have this option. So one thing I wanted to say too, is I think at the beginning of all this, I said something about there's no better time to get this, that I have good insurance and I have good support. And that, like, I flippantly said, I believe something like, all I have to do is walk through the process. And that was, I don't know, like going on a 10K walk, right?
Just check off the stuff on the list, Kristen. Just check off the things.
Yeah, don't think about how you'll feel in the middle of it.
It reminds me of this Frog and Toad story where Toad gets up in the morning and he says, this is what I'm going to do today. And his list, he makes a list and it's like, get up. And then he gets up and he crosses it off the list. And then it's like, go to Frog's house. And he goes to Frog's house and he cries. And then the wind blows his list away and he's like, I don't know what to do now. I don't have my list.
No, that's, yeah, I totally get that. That's how I feel. I have the best doctors. I have the best support. I have the best insurance. I have the best boss. I have the best job. I have the best people in my life. And if anybody's listening to this, they're probably like, okay, bragger, you know, what's
Pollyanna?
Good for Pollyanna. Good for you. And a lot of that is also what I've learned to see, as opposed to, I have to see things that way. If I let myself go to a negative place.
You have all these things because you chose them and cultivated them. They didn't just happen to you.
Absolutely. Thank you for saying that. Yeah. It's funny, like, for like probably 6 to 8 months before I got sick, people would say, how are you? You know, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I'm really good. You know, I love my life. It's great. And I'm like, the best part of it is the only people allowed in my life anymore are people that I have unconditional love for, or vice versa. And granted, I'm in a job where I get to have that because I chose that. Now, I do not live large. I don't make a lot of money, but I love my family that I work with. I love my job. And I love at the end of the day, I don't have to deal with people I don't want to deal with. All of that said, when people have asked me in the last month, how are you feeling? I've said, I feel like I want to go to Spain for 6 weeks rather than do radiation.
Good answer.
And that's my way of saying, I just need a fucking break. Sorry, from all of this. It's like my body's been in a boxing ring since the beginning of the year. And just when it's going to stop bleeding, then there's the ding, 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 get back in there. It's very hard to keep going, you know? And I am so grateful that I have this option. It's just like, what's going to happen next? What's the next side effect? Am I going to put on 42 more pounds from the hormone blockers?
Maybe.
You know, maybe.
Then you're going to have to lose them again. What a pain that's going to be.
Still have 42 pounds on me from chemo, from the effects of chemo, and nothing's in the same place. I'm carrying weight where I never have. And, you know, people think that, like, since treatment's over and since your hair's growing back, everything's fine. You know, look, you don't have cancer anymore. Look, your hair's growing back. And, like, that's when it starts. That's when you start grieving who you were and who you're not anymore. And not to say in a year I won't be that, but I'm never going to be the same. Physically, emotionally, mentally, in good ways and in hard ways. And I don't know that I'll ever stop looking over my shoulder wondering, where are the cells? Where are they going to pop up? And I can't think of that. I just have to take it like the next step at a time. You know, that's what Dr. Pacella told me. He's like, Kristen, this is a journey. Like, you've got to chunk this. You got to get from this appointment to surgery. And from surgery, you get to go to your pre-op appointments. And then you chunk that. And I'm really trying to do that.
Go back to what you said at the very beginning about, did you do everything you could possibly do?
Yeah.
And what was in my head when you said that was, you are, we all know that you are doing everything you could possibly do, but you can't make time go faster.
No.
That's what makes it so hard, is that that's the thing you can't control. And
right. And I feel like I could have eaten better during chemo. I'm like, really? Like, that's a stupid statement. I could have eaten, like, is that the title of the book? I could have eaten better during chemo. Like, really? Because I couldn't eat much. I was just trying to stay alive. But my doctors were ecstatic that I was gaining weight. And I was like, stop, that's not okay. They're like, no, we'd rather have you gaining than losing. And my labs were great all the way through. I mean, not all the way through, but I mean, comparatively. So I, you know, yeah, I could have eaten better during chemo. And so going back to what you were saying, I can't go back and wonder, what if I would have done radiation? What if I would have done the mastectomy first and not the chemo, since the chemo didn't have that much effect? That's a hard pill to swallow right there. I should have eaten better during chemo, the chemo I shouldn't have done. But I would have wondered. And anyway, doing the radiation, doing the hormone blockers, I just have to do those things in order to stay alive. And that sounds so dramatic.
It's sort of like hiking in the dark. You just have to keep your feet close to the ground and keep taking one more step.
What a great analogy, Eva.
Well, I used to be a huge klutz. Massive. And it, when I was in college, I worked at camp in Montana. And I used to run around in the dark with somebody who convinced me not to use a flashlight. And so I had to completely change the way that I walked so that I wouldn't hurt myself. And it,
yeah,
I didn't realize that it could be done until I did it.
That's how this feels. I have to say, I've been dreading the radiation process. So today they'll do the mapping and all of that. And then within like a week or so, they'll do something called a dress rehearsal, where they'll basically do a radiation treatment without the radiation to be sure that everything is lined up with the tattoos, and then the radiation will start.
So that's actually still a couple of weeks out.
Maybe a week and a half. From what I understand, it's 5 days a week for 6 weeks. Then I start the hormone blockers. And so this is kind of like my little vacation from like, how is getting a double mastectomy, having reconstruction and getting these things filled up? I don't know how that's a vacation, but it is, in that there's no poisons or things that have side effects going into my body right now. And for 5 to 10 years is how long I take this hormone blocker. And my oncologist said, yeah, you're just going to take, I'm going to call in a prescription. You're going to take this pill once a day for 5 to 10 years. I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Wait, isn't it supposed to be like once a day for 10 days or 2 weeks? I cumulatively have not been married 10 years. Like, I don't know that I can commit to that.
When you get to the end, you'll be able to say, I was on this drug longer than I was married. That's
exactly
awesome.
Exactly. And I think that the determination is, you know, remission, and there's recurrence and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But this is that little piece that I have between the very beginning of the year to 5 to 10 years from now, where there's not something in my body that's causing a side effect. One of the big side effects of the hormone blockers is osteoporosis and bone density issues. And so I have a bone density scan for a baseline next week. I can do supplements and I can do all the things that keep it away. It's just, that's the big one that my oncologist is worried about. Mm-hmm. And one thing I will say I feel fortunate about is that, a lot of things I feel fortunate about, but in this process, is that I have gone through menopause. And so a lot of times women who have not gone through menopause get thrown into menopause after all of this.
Oh man.
And these hot flashes come and they don't know what it is. And they have all this mid-belly weight because your trunk thickens and stuff because of a lack of estrogen. And this is the women who have hormone positive cancer. And so that's super important to point out. The reason that I'm having to do the hormone blockers is because my type of cancer is estrogen positive. So it's estrogen positive, progesterone neutral or negative, and HER2 negative, which is what they say, that's what you want, because they have something they can do to block the estrogen. Like mine is 79% positive. It was, I mean, it's big. It's not like just a little bit. And that's a whole nother episode, is talking about all the estrogen that I had in my body to try to keep ovarian cancer away, because my mom had ovarian cancer.
Let's talk again after your first radiation.
Okay.
So when we get back together, I want to hear about the mapping, the test drive, and the first one, and the bone density scan. Those are sort of your next little cluster of things that are going to happen.
My next party, all my party invitations. That's how I kind of look at it now when I get in the portal and when I get the reminders. I'm like, oh, it's my party invitation. A friend of mine today texted me and said, how are you feeling? And I said, honestly, I'm in an incredible amount of pain. I'm anxious. I'm scared. And I'm on the verge of crying all the time. And it was hard for me to say that, because I do want to be Pollyanna and I do want to be positive. It's just God, Eva, I'm so worn down.
Who are you holding it together for?
I don't know. Myself, I think. I think because of the bouts of depression that I've had, I don't want to let myself too loose yet. Because I don't want to stay in bed. I can't stand. I don't know. I think I'm holding it together just to try to rewire myself from those feelings. Because when I had those feelings before, it wasn't a good outcome. And I handle my world and my body and my mind so much differently than I did before. I don't know. I just want this to be the story I created, where I go and I do this and I do this and I do this and I'm cancer free and I go back and my whole life is back to normal again.
I'm going to go get Frog and Toad and tell you how it ends. Hang on. I'm serious.
Okay, good. Okay. Okay.
Okay. So, you know, he makes this list. Wake up, eat breakfast, get dressed, go to Frog's house, take walk with Frog. And then the list blows away and Toad doesn't know what to do. Hurry, said Frog. We will run and catch it. No, shouted Toad. I cannot do that. Because running after my list is not one of the things that I wrote on my list of things to do. Frog ran after the list, but he could not catch it. Cannot remember any of the things that were on my list of things to do. I will just have to sit here and do nothing, said Toad. Toad sat and did nothing, and Frog sat with him. After a long time, Frog said, Toad, it's getting dark. We should be going to sleep. Go to sleep. That was the last thing on my list. So what is the point? I think the point is it's okay to just do nothing.
Yeah.
Don't worry about your list. And then
I'm not going to worry about my list. Yeah, just go to sleep, Kristen. You wake up in the morning and the whole thing's better.
Make a new list.
Make a new list.
Or don't make one. Yeah. Doesn't matter.
It doesn't really matter. Well, I think that, and this is so Pollyanna and so cheesy, the list I consistently do make, oh my gosh, people are going to be like, is the gratitude list. When I go to sleep at night.
It's working.
As I go to sleep. That's how I fall asleep. And when I'm in my dark place, I try to reach out to somebody who may need something and just say, hey, how are you? Or I try to make a gratitude list.
Thanks for listening to Breast Cancer Stories. There's a link in the show notes with all of the resources mentioned on this episode and more info about how you can donate. If you're facing a breast cancer diagnosis and you want to tell your story on the podcast, send an email to hello@theaxis.io. I'm Eva Shea, your host and executive producer. Production support for the show comes from Mary Ellen Clarkson, and our engineer is Daniel Cruiser. Breast Cancer Stories is a production of The Axis, THEAXIS.io.